Okay.
We're in lifestyle witnessing. We are just finishing up lesson three, creating opportunities. We're going to move into witnessing with the teaching of election in mind. We left off with 1 John 3:16 through 18. So we'll, if everyone wants to turn to that, I think everyone's got a Bible. And while we're doing that, any stories on your week in witnessing?
We had visitors to the anniversary yesterday. Mm-hmm. A gal, young gal from across the street with her little boy, and some families that came to Easter.
Okay.
Showed up, and they were here this morning again.
Yeah, I sat next to one of them, Ryan. Principal Bauer told me that he was here yesterday and had a long talk with Pastor Schmidt, and I saw he was talking again, mm-hmm. Pastor Schmidt today. He was asking a bunch of questions through the worship service.
So there's a family here that I think were friends of the Sadiqs too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with their two boys.
So good. Any? Did you have a chance to talk to any of them, or?
Not really. Pat was telling me.
Okay.
The girl from across the street, she was here till they took the bounce house down.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
Well, good.
With their little boy.
With the little 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they came during the lunch, actually, and I talked with them in the parking lot a little bit. They were very excited.
Well, I'll share my story. Yesterday, as I mentioned, I did a century, the Sutter Butte century, so... What ends up happening on those things, you get into a group that are going about the same pace as you. And so once you're in this group, you kind of, unless you really struggle to get ahead of them, or you literally just stop and let them get ahead of you, you're stuck with this group for the whole time. And the lady that I ended up with, there was a couple people, but this one lady really, she was... from Tahoe, so she was very aerobically in shape. She had, this was her first ride all year because of the snow up there. And so she was, as she put it, her lungs were great, but her legs were burning. Mm. And so she was trying to draft off me the whole way. And and I wasn't fast enough to break free, so we ended up talking quite a bit because she was trying real hard to stick, because I'm a good guy to draft off of because I'm kind of big. But I found out she's liberal, non-believer, you know, so we had quite a conversation for 65, 75 miles until she eventually got tired and fell back. But, and it was, we had some differences, but in the end I just realized, you know, look, I'm just going to state it as fact and she'll either believe it or she won't. And we talked about, is there a God, is there not a God? You know, going to church, not going to church, and she's like, I go out into the woods and I worship in the forest, and you know, and I'm like, oh well, you know, you shouldn't give up the fellowship of believers, and nothing better than having a group of Christians to you know, be sad with when you're sorry and sad, and to work, you know, to rejoice when you're happy. And, oh, I do that in the trees, you know. But anyway, we had a long.
You know, what'd you say?
She was 58.
Wow.
Very, very in shape.
Lady.
Young lady. Very, very athletically fit. Just didn't. She said she did. She did go to her mom's church for Easter. First time she'd gone to church in 35 years, I think, is what she told me. But you know, for anyway. So for 4 hours. We talked. So that's my story. And obviously didn't have a chance to open up the Bible. It was only lifestyle. It was only my words. So that was it. All right, well, we'll read 1 John 3:16 through 18, and then we'll finish up with those last couple questions and move on to lesson 4. And I'll just read the whole thing. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. All right, so I think we ended with how would we define a brother in need? And we basically said, obviously, it's the fellowship of believers. It's all our Christian brothers and sisters. But it's also the society. It's our neighbors. It's everyone around us. So going on to question 4, why do we need the encouragement of verse 18? Which is, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I work around a guy who's always says the right thing, but yet it's inconsistent with what he does. And so whenever you hear him, I don't have any desire to listen to him.
He has no credibility.
He just is empty, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, words are important. God's word is, obviously a source of our faith, but yeah, if our lifestyle isn't consistent with what comes out of our mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
And I wonder how often that happens with me.
Yeah. My dad had a common, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
And as a little boy, I'm like, God, that just, made me so angry because it was like, why do I have to do it but you don't? I think that applies throughout our life.
Yeah.
All right. Question 5. How might loving with actions and truth solicit opportunities to witness about Jesus?
Well, again, coming up with common or sayings that you've heard before, so it's nothing new, but they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Is that is a real entry point to be able to get someone to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
They know that you do care.
Well, so loving with actions and truth, you're going to stick out in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, having been raised in the church, but not necessarily every Sunday attender as a young boy and young man, and even drifting away from the church for probably 8 years, and my family was the same. So my brother and sister, same thing. And now they see Linda and I, like, there's just something different about you two. And they, we're not going to do what you do because it looks like it's too time-consuming, but we can tell there's something different about you. We just pray about it at that point. What else can we do?
It's interesting, too. There have been times, and I'm not, clearly, anybody who knows us knows this to be true, but we aren't the most perfect couple or family, but there were times when Trisha's brother or sister, one or the other, they had slipped in more into the world, you could just tell. And what was once a really fun, comfortable relationship that we had with them was very awkward for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started going to church again, and all of a sudden it's a more comfortable, we look forward to seeing each other again.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've done anything necessarily different and or better or whatever, but it's fun when you have that in common. It's, mm-hmm. it's
really well, fun. Just the forgiveness, I think.
Yeah.
None of us are perfect. No one has that perfect relationship. But when you just can forgive each other easily and freely, mm-hmm. it's easier to get along than hold grudge. When you hold grudges for 10 years.
That common bond of faith. And we have family reunions, both sides of our family do. And one side is the vast majority attend worship regularly.
Uh-huh.
On the other side, vast majority don't, and it's just amazing how much more you have in common.
Yeah.
It's not just one more thing, it's huge. It just transcends everything else.
It's like the thing.
It is.
It's the binding thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how similar our families are. All right, anything else on five? How might loving with actions and truth? I think we've pretty much covered it, that our actions speak louder than our words. So, all right, his word in my life. Meeting someone's needs can provide a great opportunity to share the gospel. Think of some examples of Jesus meeting a need so he could share the gospel. And there's many, so don't, you know, we don't have to get them all.
Zacchaeus.
Yeah. Think of all the miracles, and you know, we'll just leave it at that. But he healed the blind, he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he just all of that. You know, certainly he was then, he got their attention, was able to share. I think of things like the wedding. He turned, you know, they ran out of wine, he turned water into wine. You know, I think the wedding would have gone on just fine without wine. They had something to drink, they had water. It's not like, you know, he needed to do that miracle, but yet he did it, and they certainly talked about it, and he certainly had a chance to share, you know, God's truth after that. So anyway, it certainly opens doors, I guess is the point of that. Second one, agree or disagree. Sometimes the best witness is kindness. And then if you... And then why do you agree or disagree?
I think it can open a door, so to speak. I mean, your kind acts then can lead to witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's the best witness, but I think it's a good form.
Mm-hmm.
I agree also. As it just shows you that what kind of a person you are. You know, I can't necessarily put it into words, it just shows, before I got in the wheelchair, I was at Target, and there was this lady, I pray she's not driving anymore. But she lost her car, couldn't find it in the parking lot. And I asked her, you know, what does it look like, and trying to help her. Well, anyway, we're walking and I'm getting exhausted. Well, it was two cars over. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But me helping her like that, being kind, and I just, she said to me, she said, "You must be a Christian." She did say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And asked me what church I went to, and I told her this one. But I made sure, you know, because it was after dropping the kids off at school and all that. But I waited for her to leave because I didn't want her anywhere near me driving. I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't mind her car.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's situational dependent. And not on this story that Debbie just shared, but yeah. I think in general, kindness is sometimes the best way, and sometimes, you know, so it's the law and gospel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in need, depressed, crying, obviously aware of their sins, probably the time to use it. And then other times it might be a little law to show them their sin, so they know they need a savior. So, well, I could argue both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think coming after, you know, defining a brother in need. So especially if you're thinking of fellow Christians who mm-hmm. are in need, it kind of works both ways. Because I've been on the receiving end many times of fellow Christians helping our family.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have said is that it benefits them.
Oh, yeah.
It gives them a sense of service. So yeah. It works both ways.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does, yes. All right, the last one there. Well, was there anything else on the kindness one? Okay, last one. Some things make it difficult to love with actions. What can help you overcome each of these difficulties? That you're different from other people, that the other person is living an un-Christian lifestyle, and that I might be rejected.
I think the first one, for me, I always think, well, sure, I'm different from other people, but I've met so many people in my life, just having lived so many different places, that the thing that always gets me is how much we're the same. You know, it's like, there's just a lot of sameness, and there is a connection, and I think it kind of goes back to the kindness thing, you know, it's like, if you can make that bridge with somebody, you'll realize that, you know, we suffer from the same, you know, like just basic things, you know. So yeah, you're different, but you do share some commonalities, and those are, you know, how you connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of the first two, being different, you know, but also the difference in lifestyles between people you could be witnessing to, and sometimes it's pretty big, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't witness to them.
I have a really serious, I have a gay manager at work, and so that's really a difficult situation to be in. I don't really feel like I can say anything, and this last week he told me, oh, they're going to move into this new house and because they want to adopt a child, and I was just like, oh, what could I possibly say? I mean, that just was so, I don't know. I mean, anybody have any guidance there? I mean, that was just...
I didn't know that you could adopt.
I wish they couldn't.
You know, I have a very close friend who's homosexual, and he appreciates my... I just stated his fact. You know, we talk about things that... And he talks what he thinks is fact, and I talk what I think is fact, and he appreciates my honesty.
But he's your peer, not your manager.
Yeah, he's not my boss, no.
Yeah.
He's a friend. He's a peer.
Yeah. Talk about witnessing reports and failures. There were just a couple times this week I just totally wasn't there ready to go. but it's kind of similar to what Jane was saying. I had a young girl as a patient. I came in to do an exam after she'd had her teeth cleaned, and she was talking about, oh yeah, she and her boyfriend are going to be moving into a house in Folsom, and maybe this is the wrong attitude or thing to say, but I had heard someone else say this before, and I'm sorry, I just didn't say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh.
You know? It's not that I'm being judgmental. I'm really sorry to hear that, because this relationship obviously is doomed to failure because of that action.
Statistically. Yeah.
So if this is something that she's serious, a relationship she's seriously serious about, wants to continue, I'm really sorry for her that she's taking that action, because, you know, and obviously she's excited, and if someone says, I'm really sorry to hear that, the question is why? Well, and now here's an opportunity, because statistically speaking, this isn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And so, here when people are actually boasting and they're excited, you know, think something that is bad, they're moving in, going, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I thought I flew on Monday. I forgot to mention that one. Similar thing. Guy and girl living together, they're engaged, they're going to get married. And I'm like, you know, statistically, you guys have a road ahead of you that will be tough. Well, why is that? You know, well, statistically, you know, if you've lived together, the chances of divorce are like double society. What? Yeah. And then I pulled up my card right here. Talk to Pastor Schmidt or talk to Pastor Tackmeyer. You know, Pastor Schmidt's about your age. I'd really recommend him. You know.
Poor Pastor Schmidt.
took it. You know, and then afterwards he's kind of like, you know, he took it quietly, but he caught his interest.
I always think about after a situation and what I wish I would have said. Mm-hmm. And this week, the kids and I went over to Safeway, and a friend of mine, or I don't know if I call him a friend, a guy we used to work with, and he was my manager. His name is TJ. He had gotten into crank. And now, and as I'm walking up, I didn't recognize him. He recognized me, but as I'm walking up, he's like, I know you, you know, and he had gotten into crank when I knew him as my manager. And at the time I was thinking, here's an example of what I can tell Jack and Sammy, and he's now asking people for money out in front of the Safeway. And then later I was like, you know, that would have been a good opportunity to hand him a card. Mm-hmm. You know, later that's, you know, as I'm, and then we came, but we saw him as we were coming out of the store, you know, and I missed that opportunity, but.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah, but we learn from those things.
Yeah, be too. Ready the next time because those opportunities are there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping.
Exactly.
Yeah, I blew another one too. I went golfing with a friend of mine, and he invited a childhood friend of his. And after about toward the end of the round, we started talking about other stuff, and you could tell that he's not a believer, and he has different worldviews than I do, and all of this, and I. Perfect opportunity to just inquire, ask questions, and all of this, because you know, I can do it in not being judgmental. I'm probably thinking my friend, who is also a Christian, would have maybe a tougher time doing it, even though they're friends, they've known each other so long, they know, you know, it's kind of awkward sometimes like that, and I'm thinking, man, I really blew that, but maybe we'll have an opportunity to meet up again, but mm-hmm. Boy, those opportunities are there every day, and they just, it's not like there's a trumpet blast and you know, oh, okay, opportunity's coming up, gotta get ready and hurt myself, because they just are there.
Yeah. And then how to take it. Do I go with approach A, approach B, approach C, you know, law, gospel? So.
Is it the rejection factor? I mean, that's what it is for me, you know, and I might be rejected that you don't say something.
You know, I think a lot of it for me is I am too focused on myself. And I see these opportunities afterwards. I go, whoa, what was that just went by? And I was so worried about the putt that I just missed or well, whatever it might be. I was just too focused on myself to be thinking about others. And that's not...
mine's the first two. It's the connecting. I could care less if I get rejected or not. I got thick skin. You know, who cares? But I struggle with where's my end? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I say to this person that is not even close to me? You know, whatever. You could talk about all the ways you can tell that we're different, but I'm like, you know. I don't know how to relate to that person standing right there. So, and I struggle with that. But when I do it, I come. Sometimes the door opens. And certainly, I was different than the lady I was riding bike next to yesterday.
Sometimes, when you're wherever you are in life, might be helpful or hindrance. Like for Kevin right now, it seems easy because he, you know, he's college age. So you know. People just ask, oh, well, you know, just in conversation. Yeah,
what are you going to do? I'm going to be a pastor.
What are you doing? What are you studying? And you're going right there. I mean, wow. How easy is that in, you know?
Yeah.
But, but he doesn't, I mean, I guess, could be quiet. He doesn't really, I shouldn't say he doesn't have fear, because I think he does. But he so wants to do it that, mm-hmm. See, for me, it's more of a fear thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe of all of these, I don't know. But, you know.
Well.
On Monday, when I was having my chemo, I was sitting there, and a friend of mine was with me, and we were talking. I can't even remember what it was, but there was a gentleman on the opposite side of the room who started talking to me out of the blue. And he was reading the book on Hebrews. And I don't know how he knew that I was a Christian at all. You know, but he was reading, you know just the single book on Hebrews. And he asked me a question about the Bible and going to church and stuff like that. And I said, oh yeah, you know, I go every Sunday and go to Bible class and all that. And I told him about Dan taking, was it 1 year, going to Modesto to do Greek. And he said, wow, that's pretty cool, you know. And we just started talking, and it was like, he says, you know, when's the next time you'll be here? And I says, well, my treatments are every 3 months for 3 years. And he says, well, hopefully I'm here the next time, and we can talk some more. And I said, hopefully. Yeah, and I said, good luck finishing your book. Yeah, but it was a weird day.
Yeah. Well, I think the point here on these three is, you know, we are going to be talking to people who are different. We're not going to be talking to clones of ourselves. In some way, they're going to be different. And if we're talking to them and sharing law and gospel with them, they're likely unbelievers then. Because if you know they're a believer and you know they're attached to a church, the conversation changes likely to, you know, more of a what you'd talk to a Christian brother or sister about. So, you know, the fact is, all three of these are going to apply to us in some way, shape, or form. And statistically speaking, we are going to get rejected too. We're going to share law and gospel with those around us, and someone may come back with, you're an idiot. You're a quack. You don't know what you're talking about. You know? Oh, well. You can't do anything about that and move on.
So is that how you overcome it? You just, like, have the thick skin and you just, like,
well,
say whatever?
No.
I'm asking because that is the question, well, right, that I'd like to know, because that's my number one.
Well, yeah. What I my outward response is okay, but I know that it's not my, I'm not a salesman. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convert, and it's my job to share. Mm-hmm. So I share it as fact. God loves you. That's a fact. God died on the cross for you. That's a fact. Our sins are forgiven. That's a fact. And if they believe it, that's the Holy Spirit made that happen.
And knowing, too, that it's also a fact that the gospel will seem like foolishness to,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the world. And so,
yeah.
You know, you have to kind of keep that in your mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you may be, you know, number 57 sharing the message, and they won't believe till number 102, you know.
But they need 102 messages.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's just my job is to share, and I don't get caught up. I don't get a commission. I'm not a salesman. It's just my job is to share, and I move on. And I can't convert them. I don't have the power, and B, it's not my job. So that's why rejection doesn't bother me at all.
And it's not that your argument was so cleverly articulated that it convinced them. That has nothing to do with it. I remember Neil Honeycutt's funeral. If anyone, I don't know who all went here, but he had talked with Pastor Carr and said, and let me tell you who's going to be in the audience. This is my last opportunity to share the gospel message with these people. So I want it to be very clear. And so Pastor Carr, and I can't remember, I won't do it justice, but it was, there is a God, there is a heaven, and only those who are perfect will enter it. That is fact. Now, and he went on to say how we are perfect because of what Jesus has done for us. And it was just stated, like you said, here are the facts. This is what is going to, and this is how loving God is, that he has provided a way for you. And it was clear that over half of the people in the congregation were not believers.
More than half.
Yeah, probably so. It was overwhelming.
All his neighbors and friends and
fellow workers as a fireman.
Oh, okay.
All of these people who came to pay their respects.
I hope that if I ever die, hopefully they save that sermon.
I have copies.
I do too.
To many, because it says what will happen to you when you die. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Yeah. It was like, do you believe? Oh, you know, this really doesn't matter. I'm just going to come into dust. No. Is that your belief, or is this what it is, or is this your belief? Well, let me tell you. Here's the fact. There is a God. And I agree. After Pastor Carr was done, Trish and I looked at each other and go, that's what we want at our funeral. That is the message. We don't want to talk and reminisce about me or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is the message that people need to understand.
Yeah, and Charlie Cup and Pastor wrote it together before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was shocked when Pastor Carr started talking and all the people, because we were the kitchen crew, so we're sitting in the back. And all of them in front, they're looking at each other, you know, cause, and they're all in their fireman uniforms and everything. There was over 250 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, going back to the rejection, too, I should be clear on one thing. It doesn't mean I'm not sad that I share law and gospel. I share these truths with someone, especially someone who's close, a close friend that I've known for 20 years, a family member or whatever. It doesn't mean I don't go home and cry about it. You know, oh, I was so close. This one time, it was a, Kevin reminds me of the guy. We had a travel canvas witness team come. And so it was a college kid who wanted to be a pastor and me. And we're going through the neighborhoods in Kodiak. And this guy, who was my used to be my landlord, invited us in. We had coffee. We talked for like a half an hour. He's like, okay, so imagine the confidence you'd have if knowing everything you did, your sins were forgiven, how you could go out into the world and be joyful every day. And we're like, yeah, you got it. Oh, it can't be that simple. You know, it was frustrating, you know, it was sad, but I didn't take it personally, you know. So let's move on to lesson 4 here so we have a reasonable chance at finishing. So we've already done the witnessing report, so we'll jump to page 2. Now, I will confess I'm not a secretary and my copying misfed, so it goes page 1, page 3, page 2, page 4. So open it up to the middle and look for page 2.
That introduction, interesting, because I had read that when we sat down, and it's so true. It talks about what if someone believed because you talked to them, or they didn't believe because you didn't talk to them. And it's like, you know, a lot of churches will put that guilt trip on you and say, if you don't go and share God's word every opportunity you get and someone misses out, it's going to be your fault that they don't make it to heaven. It's like, well, I remember hearing that in high school. The church I was at, it's like, oh, I don't know if I can handle that pressure. And yet it is God's, it is the Holy Spirit that does the conversion. So,
We'll start with the reading here, and it's right here, because what we're going to do is we're going to go through and underline, and we're going to circle, and we're going to cross out some stuff. So feel free to read it through your Bible, but when it comes to the underlining and all that, do it in the handout. Unless it's your own Bible. But we'll go this way this time, if you guys are ready. And we'll just go, being the verses aren't in there, we'll just do it 2 sentences, and then we'll pass it on to the next person. And I'll start. So the church grows by grace. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
In him we have redemption, glorious grace, which he has freely given us.
You skipped one.
Did I skip something?
Yeah. You went back up a one.
Sorry. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all the wisdom and understanding.
and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory.
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
All right, so we'll take a couple minutes and we'll do question one there. Underline the words or the phrases that describe what God has done for us. What has God done for us?
Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
He's blessed us, yeah.
Chose us.
He chose us.
Predestined.
He predestined us.
Adopted.
His grace he has given us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Redemption.
Forgiveness.
Redemption, forgiveness.
He's lavished.
Lavished on us, wisdom and understanding.
Revealed his mystery of his will.
He has made known, yeah, his mystery. Mm-hmm. Going around in a second, he chose us, predestined us. We kind of talked about that already. Mm-hmm. He works out everything for us.
And it's interesting that these were all done to bring glory to him. Mm-hmm. It's at mm-hmm. the end of that sentence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we might be for the praise of his glory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were also included in Christ. You were marked in him with a seal.
Guarantee our inheritance.
Mm-hmm. So God has done a lot for us, I guess is the point of that, right? You look at what God has done, it certainly is the majority of that reading.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so question two. Circle the two phrases, and maybe there's more, but there's two in the second paragraph that describe what we do. Mm-hmm. So what's our part in this? So, you know, I didn't really count here, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. At least 13 things in these two paragraphs God has done for us. And there's two that we do. What are they?
We have hope in Christ.
And we believe.
And we believe.
And we.
The hope. Where's the hope?
The third line. First to hope in Christ.
We're the first to hope in Christ.
But I think what we do is that we live to his glory. Mm-hmm. That's the thing we do, that we might be for the praise of his glory.
Yeah, but he does that so that we can do it. Right. He has done all these other things so that we're able to do that.
You everyone's thinking of what, as Christians, what do we do? But we heard the word and we believed it.
Mm-hmm. When
you heard the word of truth.
Okay.
Having believed.
Where is that?
Fourth line, second paragraph. In Christ. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. So really, that's what I have is you heard.
Do you really actively do something when you hear something? I mean, you can't really prevent yourself from hearing unless you plug your ears, right?
Well, but plugging your ears is an active thing, right?
Yeah, but is not plugging your ears an active thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
the work of the Holy Spirit is what I'm getting at. I mean, I think that, you know, you're sort of inactive actor there to hear.
Well, it's like in believing something. Do you believe because you decide to believe, or do you believe because that's worth believing?
Well, funny you should bring that. We're going to now read Ephesians 2. So a couple, you know, page or so over in your Bibles, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I'll just read the whole section. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. So, you know, we're saved through grace, or through faith, by grace, but we don't get it ourselves. And we don't get it from ourselves, so no one can brag about it. Like, yeah, I believe because I'm better than you or, you know, someone. It's just the way it is.
Well, this is, in fact, Pastor Waterstrat shared this. I'd mentioned this, so some of you may have heard me talking about this before. But Pastor Waterstrat first told me, and I had a conversation with a friend of mine who was at that time going to a Baptist church, and he asked why our church never invited him to come and do his music ministry program, which he does. He sings and speaks and all that. And I said, there's differences in doctrine about what we believe. And he says, I'm a Christian. What are you saying? I'm not a believer. I said, we have differences in... I said, first of all, you talk about accepting Jesus as your Savior. That is not something we do. I mean, so we went through this. Bottom line, it was, if you had two children, one who was... just did everything, very obedient, and one who is totally unreliable, which one could you love? Well, I could love both of them. That's true. That's a decision you can make to love them. It doesn't depend on that person. That's your decision to love them. But which one do you trust when you ask them to do something? Which one are you more trusting toward? And which one do you believe will do it? The one that's obedient. And it's like, so your trust doesn't depend on your will. It depends on the trustworthiness of the other person. So when you believe in Jesus as your Savior, it's because He is worth believing. He's trustworthy and He will save you. He does what He says. And all of a sudden, after some pretty tense moments there in our conversation, He says, I see what you mean. That is it's not something we do. But there were times when He almost got up and stormed out because this is a friend I've known for 12 years at that point, so it was pretty tense, but at the same point, it's totally different.
Alright, we'll pick up again on question two. Plan your week for evangelizing, and then at the end, there's some reading again for your weekly devotion. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Nice class. So Brett, I've often thought about what an opportunity you have as a